Well, so far you've heard my voice, but then I brought two friends along. Next on the mic is my man, Jer. Come on, Jer, sing that song.
David Tyler.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions.
Now you're welcome, Max. So South Africa A 17, British and Irish Lions 13. We had ourselves something very close to a test match, and we are 10 days out from the first test on July 24th. We had commentary this evening. Neil Tracy and Jack Carty watched events. Jack, talk to us about the game. Big picture. South African camp will be very happy with this evening, I would think, in a whole host of ways.
Yeah, certainly. The fact that they only had that game against Georgia, taking into account that they were in isolation with the COVID cases in their camp. And I think, you know, you saw the way that they set about their stall, their maul game, their kicking game. And I think, I suppose, the Lions are going to have to come to grips with that, because they're not going to change anything in the next 3 to 4 weeks. And I think, you know, it's pretty easy to see what they do, but it's a different thing in terms of how you go about managing it.
Yeah, it sure is. And again, echoes of 09, and none of this surprising, but we saw a lot more kicking this evening, and we are going to see a serious fight at the breakdown come July 24th. That was evident this evening. South Africa went after the Lions there a little bit in the first half and had a lot of joy.
Yeah, they certainly did. I think, you know, the way the Lions were looking to play, you can see that they gained a bit of superiority when they tried to move the ball into the wider channels. But when you're running into big bodies like the South African men have, you know, you're not really going to go anywhere. And you saw when the Lions did kind of, you know, play that middle man and then play the ball out the back and shifted the ball into the wider channels, it did cause the South African team a bit of problems. But I think that's probably the recipe they're going to have to go with, because if you're going to run straight with these big South Africans, you're going to put yourself under pressure.
Why did they struggle to do that for so much of the first half, do you think? The Lions, that is, struggled to get out wide the way they did in the second half.
Firstly, I think if you look at the way the South Africans play, they put them under a serious amount of pressure. The way the Lions, obviously, both teams don't want to play too much in their own half. So the Conor Murray was obviously putting up contestable box kicks. And I suppose when they go too long, you give the chance to Chels and Kobe and Willie LaRue to counterattack. And then look, the South Africa will play two or three phases in around that 50. And if they go nowhere, or if they don't get a penalty, they're just going to kick the ball back on top of you. So it really is kind of a game of patience. You have to, I suppose, get in the contest in the air and hope you win the ball back. And then if not, you have to put pressure on Flav de Klerk and Morne Steyn's kicking game, because as you saw for that first half, the Lions really struggled. And even for the last, I suppose, 20 minutes of the game, they struggled to get out of their own half. You know, being in that position before against teams that play like that, it can be incredibly difficult to get out of your own half when teams play like that.
Yeah, Neil Tracy, on the point of the South African defence, it is worth letting people who didn't see the game know that 10 of the Lions' 13 points did come effectively against 13 men.
Yeah, it's a very, very good point. And like, you could see the pace they were playing and the speed that they were trying to move the ball on during that time as well, when they did have the edge and the numerical edge as well. And that is an excellent point that, you know, once we probably got to the hour mark, I'd say, of the game, the Lions probably did control things for maybe 10 minutes or so after South Africa got back to the full complement of 15. And in fairness, I do think as well, though, it was that period from probably about 30 minutes into the game to probably 60, 65 minutes, that felt like full test level intensity. There was a real zip to the game. There was a real pace to it. And some of the hits that were going in were huge. But I just think, like, defensively, South Africa are just so, so good. You could see the way the Lions were picking and going for those, trying to just pick and go for that try consistently rather than trying to move the ball out wide. And South Africa just looked comfortably able to deal with it. Like, the Lions were just moving from left to right and from left to right again without ever really getting too close to the try line. And it was just tackle after tackle being made by South Africa. And maybe, I think, you know, if it was a test match, I think maybe the Lions would have taken more chances. I think maybe the fact that it's a warm-up game, they're going in with a mentality and a game plan that they'll rigidly stick to, because they just want to go through it and see how it works, whether it's trial or error. I know in previous games at, you know, things like line-out, there were a couple of games where they were just consistently throwing the ball well over the top and it wasn't always working, but they kept doing it. and they kind of got rid of it then after other games. So it's that's probably the one part of this game that I think you might not be able to read too much into, is that I think the Lions were making a lot of decisions tonight that they were only making because it was a warm-up game.
Yeah. I mean, it must have been such a rude awakening for them, Jack, I suppose, to go from the games against the Sigma Lions and the Sharks twice to almost, as Neil says, test intensity. That's quite a jump. Like, I'm not surprised in the first 10, 15, 20 minutes the South Africans were on top. In some ways, it must have been a bit of an adjustment. If you're a Lions player and you've been used to a certain intensity, it would have felt like you were thrown to the... I was going to say throw to the lines a little bit, which is the wrong way of putting it, but certainly thrown into the melting pot from, like we said, a low enough intensity.
Yeah, massively so. Like, you would have seen that the kind of the Lions had it their own way, and I suppose in them first kind of couple of games, it would have been almost an air of complacency in terms of kind of turnovers, reaction speeds. The thing, I suppose, that may be a bit of a worry to the Lions is that you think of the players that weren't involved today. You have Sia Khaleesi, Andre Pollard, Ute De Lager, there's Mambipi. There's all these players to still come in and add a lot more quality to that South African team. So, it'll be interesting to see kind of how they go about Saturday. But I agree with what Neil kind of said there. I think at the end of that first half, I suppose if it was a proper test game, you'd hope and you'd think that they would have maybe went for a scrum penalty, and with the numerical advantage that they did have, they would have kind of went for that option. But I think, as Neil said, they probably went out with a game plan and said, we're going to try this and that and maybe set the South Africans up for something different in the first test.
Okay, so, well, even with that in mind, would you be more or less confident of Lions' success in this series based on tonight?
It's a tough question. Because I think... They were probably unsure of what the South Africans were going to bring tonight. We spoke about their maul and their kicking game. I think the Lions are going to have to manage their kicking game in terms of how they manage to get out of their own half and then stop South Africa just pinning them back, because, you know, it's so suffocating. And then, you know, they don't do anything that inventive or, you know, that special. But what they do is they do it very, very well. They scrum well, they maul well, and when they carry with it like a ferocity that you saw that when they did it in the first half, they got easy access. So I think Warren Gatland, I suppose, if he was looking back on this, he'd probably be happy with the fact that he got a proper run out against, and that which was probably a test side. He may be a bit worried in terms of what they're going to do to kind of counteract that South African game plan.
What about you, Neil?
I'd definitely be feeling less confident from a Lions point of view after seeing that. Like, I'll be totally honest, over the course of the last few weeks, I thought South Africa were going to look a lot rustier than they actually turned out to be. I thought the fact that they hadn't played in 20 months really as a team and had only had that one run out against Georgia, I did actually think that was going to be a big, big factor, because even in that game against Georgia, they didn't really look very good for the first 40 minutes of it. They were making lots of mistakes and they looked like they were way off the intensity. And then when you added in all the chaos from their COVID situation, where they've had more than 20 players plus staff testing positive, they haven't been able to train at various times. I really actually did. So much was just falling into place for the Lions. And so much, there were so many barriers emerging step by step that the South African side were having to deal with. But I have to say, I actually thought tonight they looked really, really impressive. They looked incredibly cohesive, which is quite good when you factor in there are some uncapped players in there as well, like Joseph Dueva. Jasper Visa only made one cap previously against Georgia, like an unofficial second cap this evening. Someone like Sabu Nkosi hasn't played too much. But the settled partnerships they have, the likes of Aben Etzebeth and Franco Mostert in the second row, both look excellent. Peter Steph Dutoy looked as good as he ever did. Faf de Klerk, you know, is as good as ever. The centre partnership of Damien Delende and Lucanio Am were brilliant. I thought Lucanio Am was a runaway man of the match from my point of view. I thought he was so good in attack, defence, aerially, everything. I have to say I was really, really impressed with South Africa tonight.
I got to say, I share that opinion totally. I mean, so Nkosi could have had a try after 5 minutes. Watson made a great recovery tackle. And then on 12 minutes, they get their first try. They're 10-0 up. On 31 minutes, we see Cheslin Colby do his thing for the Am try. And it's 17-3. And they're dominating in the air. The Lions' kicking game, frankly, at that stage was appalling. They're going after the Lions at the breakdown. They're feeling confident about their maul. You listed all the players there who are much, much sharper than I thought they were going to be. And even then, I would put it to you, Jack, in the second half when the Lions were in the ascendancy for periods, you've got to see it from the South African perspective. They would have feared running out of steam. I thought they would run out of steam. I thought the Lions would win this game ultimately, but the South Africans held on. They maintained a degree of cohesion, even with the likes of Deolande off and Steph de Toit off and, you know, some of their bigger names off. So I would think they're sitting in that dressing room right now, South Africa, and they're saying, all of the factors against us, we actually pitched up there in very good shape and we held these guys out. And again, 10 of those 13 points against 13 men, I would think that is a psychological blow this evening for the Lions.
100%. And I think that's probably what Razzy Erasmus and Jack Nubert would have been speaking about. They would have been speaking before the game. Look, we've nothing to lose. We've, you know, we've had a COVID case through our camp. We haven't been able to train. Let's go out. And I think that probably would have been a major motivation for them. I think probably the turning point in the game was Lewis Rees-Zammit's when he went into touch or his double movement. After that, the Lions didn't get a sniff. And it probably is quite worrying, the fact that, you know, the most promising bit of attack that the Lions have, as Neil said, was against 13 and 14 men.
Yeah. This South African defence is seriously good, isn't it?
It is. And you, look, as I said kind of earlier on, you can't just run single men and try run over these guys, because as you saw there, they're these two or three men hits, they're absolutely smashing your back. For the Lions to kind of get anything out of these tests, they're going to have to move the ball. You saw in the first half when Tom Curry went through on his line break, it was, you know, playing the ball at the line and then little kind of subtle inside and outside passes. And I think that's what they're going to have to do if they're going to kind of counteract this physicality from South Africa.
And Jack, so you're in a playmaking position. Would tonight's evidence strengthen the argument for a second playmaker in the truest sense at 12? Based on this evening, might the Lions coaching ticket look at that and look about the absolute necessity? It's essential that they play ball and get wide. And so would that strengthen the argument for, say, a Farrell at 12 alongside Bigger?
Potentially. Look, I think you saw the glimpses of it there. When they did actually move the ball into the wider channels, it did pay off. And I think, you know, when you're kind of playing against teams like that, when you're getting line speed against them, you have a tendency to end up kind of looking in towards the ruck, and you kind of forget to look outside and see where the actual space is. So I think if you did have somewhere another playmaker, whether it be a 10 or 15, it might give you more variety. You can play two sides of the ruck as well, which, you know, probably wasn't done a lot tonight.
Yeah. Neil, any Lions put their hands up for selection for you?
Yeah, I think there's a few actually throughout it. I suppose starting in the front row, I think Loosehead is wildly up for grabs, that number one jersey for the first test. Like, coming into this game, I probably would have had Rory Sutherland as the favourite, Wyn Jones next in line, and then Makovunipola as the third choice. I thought he'd actually had a poor couple of games in the lead up to this. But I thought Wyn Jones was excellent tonight. I thought he was one of their best performers on the night. And I thought Makovunipola was excellent when he came on as well. So all of a sudden, just by not having featured, Rory Sutherland might have fallen down the pecking order. Other than that, I thought when he came on, Adam Beard added a lot to the Lions' maul defence. Himself and Maro Itoje were really, really disrupting them. And he combined with Tom Curry and Itoje on one hugely important turnover on a South African maul, when they've been getting great, great ground on that in the lead up. And then also as well, someone I thought had a brilliant game, but I just don't know how he figures into a test team, is Chris Harris. I thought he was so physical in defence. He did get burned by Cheslin Colby in the lead up to Lucanio Am's try. But I thought in the second half, when the Lions were in control, I thought he was central to that. I thought he made a couple of huge carries, a couple of big tackles in defence as well. He's probably still just a little bit outside if you're talking test pecking order, though, particularly if you're looking at having Owen Farrell maybe at outside centre and you expect Robbie Henshaw is probably going to start as well. But I just thought he had a good game and probably worth mentioning.
Okay. Anyone for you, Jack?
I thought Maro Itoje, you know, his form coming into the game was, you know, kind of a bit up and down. I thought he held his hand up, as you said. Wyn Jones, I thought, was very good. Chris Harris, we probably didn't speak about him a lot before the match, and as Neil said, I know he got burnt from that try. I think probably anyone in world rugby would have got burnt, but I thought he was quite impressive. Tom Curry, I think he's probably nailed down for a test start now as well.
Okay, very good. Well, fellas, Thanks for the coverage this evening, Jack Carty and Neil Tracy. Much appreciated. The Lions coverage here in OTB Sports is brought to you with Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions. So it's the Stormers on Saturday, and then suddenly we're counting down to the first test on July 24th. We'll take a short ad break. We have Dan McDonnell on the football show next.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions.
Well, so far you've heard my voice, but then I brought two friends along. Next on the mic is my man, Jer. Come on, Jer, sing that song.
David Tyler.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts
and download the OTB Sports app.